Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start reading in verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was called, come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea on dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Father, we pray that you add your blessing to the reading of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. About 45 years ago, I guess it was, when my baby son, who's now, he was 55 on Friday, my baby. But about 45 years ago, I took him and his buddy to the Football Hall of Fame in Canton. And they had a wondrous time there. In North Canton, we have the Football Hall of Fame. In Cleveland, we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We have a Hall of Fame for about every one of the sports and pastimes that we partake in. We even go as far as to have a Spam Hall of Fame for that special concoction of meat that got its start as K-rations for the military. We have a Hall of Fame for about anything that exists. It's not surprising that God has his Hall of Fame in the pages of the Scripture. The book of Hebrews speaks out of the mouth of God and written down by Paul the Apostle, contains the Hall of Fame, or as we would call it, God's Hall of Faith. Paul is a penman of the church epistles, where our church doctrine for this age comes, but in Hebrews he passes something along that was in his heart. God had him to instruct us for our church doctrine. And then I think at the end of it, Paul says, well, what about my people? God says, oh, go ahead, write something about them. So he wrote to the Hebrews. And they were the people that Paul loved and the people that God loved. He cared for them and for his people and for God's people. The Hebrews, waiting, always wanted to hear about what God was going to do with his people. He relates in Hebrews chapter 11 of God's people and his people, the Hebrews that God has enshrined in his Hall of Faith. And he exhorts the Hebrew children to be like that and to go and do likewise. We need to all strive to be in the Hall of Faith. And I want to talk this morning for a while about building our faith. I know in my own life, as I near the end of my journey at 86, I just wonder sometimes why I have so little faith. And I have seen the blessings of God all through my life, and I've enumerated that, and I've told as many as I can think to tell how God has blessed me down through the years. And I hope that when I get to heaven, God will greet me and say, "Well done, thou child of faith." Although I keep learning and building, I see the evidence of faith all through my life. And without faith in God, it's impossible to please God. We want to look at the one Hebrew leader, beloved of God, and the Hebrew nation ever to this day. Moses is revered by all the Israelites. He's their man. Moses is the man of faith that God spoke face to face, and the leader adored above all the others in the Hebrew nation. Moses was their guide and their example they followed in the faith. Where did the faith in God that Moses had come from? And how did he get it? And we need to look at that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 starts out with the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a conviction that God can, and a hope that God will. Many times as we pray that God will answer our prayer. Sometimes we see our answer. Sometimes we don't see the answer. Sometimes God will tell us not now. Sometimes God will say no. And it depends on how we pray, if we pray in the will of God. The building of faith that Moses had started before he was born by his parents. His parents, in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They started out with parents that provide for their children. And that's where the faith of our children and grandchildren needs to start. They need to start 9 months before the child is born. That faith has to be in dad and mom and grandma and grandpa. If you want children to be of faith, you teach them in faith. It just blesses my heart when I come to Sunday school and I see a two-week-old baby in the arms of their mother in church. That's when it all starts. Moses was hid of his parents because they wanted him, and they knew he was a good child, and they wanted him to be the person of faith that they were. I want you to notice first the parents' concern. Moses was not a fetus. Moses was a child in his mother's womb. He was a child. He was their child. He was given by God as a blessing. Our children are blessings, every one of them. And if they're taught in the things of God, they'll continue to be a blessing all of our lives. We see the courage of Moses' parents. They disregarded the edicts of Pharaoh. The edicts of Pharaoh are alive and well today. And here are some of them that we have to face as parents and grandparents. The first thing they face is fashions. Everything's got to be in style. I am amazed that little kids, 7 and 8 years old, that point to a thing on their shirt or their coat that says that, they're in style, their style on it. See, this is my badge right here. My parents paid $60 for this coat for me instead of the $3.95 at Walmart. I wish I could have said that. When I was a kid in school, all the good kids had Levi's. The poor kids had overalls. And the difference was Levi's were $2.98 and overalls were $1.98 at Monkey and Ward's. So I got the $1.98 and I'd long for the day that I could wear Levi's like the styling kids. And finally, when I got to be in high school and got a job, I was able to spend my $2.98 and get the good pants. Now back then, we wore them a little different. The kids today, they put on a fresh pair of pants every day. When we were going to school, we had two pair of pants. We wore one of them on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we wore the other one on Thursday and Friday. And then Mom washed on Monday and we were back in the business again. But we didn't change pants every day. We couldn't. We were glad that we could change socks and other things every day, but the pants had to last for a few days. Our parents didn't care about style and fashion. They kept us dressed and kept us warm. But kids today have to be in style, have to be in fashion. And when you, I don't know about you, but it's tough to find something, and I feel sorry for the ladies. It's tough to find something that's modest and decent to wear. It seems like the fruit of the loom anymore became loom of the fruits. And we go and try to buy something that's good. Fortunately, you can still buy a suit. Nobody else wants them, so there's still some of them there. You can buy a decent suit anymore. Popularity is another thing. We want our kids to be popular. We want our kids to have the best of everything. We want them to be something that we can be proud of and the world can be proud of. And today's parents would rather see their children be popular in Egypt than bound for the promised land. And our goal as parents is to see that our kids are bound for the promised land. I thank the Lord that all my children trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior when they were little. They were young, in their teens. So far, so good. So their neck's not as red as mine, but that's okay. Earthly success. We want our kids to be successful. I know of an instance where God had called this young man to be a missionary, and his parents says, no, we're not going to send you to school to be a missionary. We want you to be a doctor or a lawyer. We don't want you to waste your life on the mission field. Well, the parents didn't turn out that well, and neither did the boy. Because earthly success for them was measured in dollars rather than godliness. Our earthly success is measured in our godliness. How close are we to the Lord? The Lord will bless us and keep us and lead us and guide us if we will follow. He gives us that choice. Second thing we see the courage of Moses. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured, and seeing him who is invisible. We don't read anything about Moses until he got involved. Moses was a baby, and then 40 years old, he got involved in a fight. He interrupted a fight, and that's when we see Moses. You can't build your faith until you get involved in the fight. You got to be involved in the work of God. You've got to be out there passing out those tracts and bragging about Jesus. And when you get involved, God will bless you. Faith building requires involvement that should be noticeable to everybody around us. I am always wary of somebody that has to tell me that they're a Christian. If you have to tell me you're a Christian, I'm going to lock my wallet up and hide. Your life should show that you're a Christian in everything that you do. You don't have to tell anybody. I can tell when a person is a true, real Christian before they ever open their mouth. You can tell by their actions. And we need to be told by our actions to the world that we are Christian. We don't get involved in the things of the world, and we stay away from that kind of stuff. Faith building requires involvement that should be noticeable to everybody around us. Secondly, faith in building involves personal choice. Moses made a choice. Notice verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Life is full of choices. Generally speaking, life's three most significant choices come before the age of 25. Generally, there are exceptions to the rule. First of all, the first choice we have to make, who will I marry? That's the greatest choice for an individual, I think, in the world short of salvation. Who will I marry? Your mate will either make you or break you. You get with a real estate agent and say, I need a house. And they take you around and they show you the houses, and you come up to this house and say, oh, I like that house. I like the paint on the outside. Well, we're going to buy it. Well, don't you want to look at it? No, I like the paint on the outside. And so many times that's the way we choose our mates. We like the paint on the outside. The outside is not important. The outside's going to change through the years. But the inside is what is important. You could be ugly as a mud fence and be beautiful on the inside. And God will bless you if you choose the right mate. So we need to tell our kids and our grandkids, pay attention to who you marry. I always taught my kids, I said, you can't date anybody that you won't marry. You find out beforehand, before you even think about dating him, is that a person you could marry? Is that a person of faith? Is that a person that will go along with you and your beliefs and follow according to the Bible and raise your children that way? Once you start dating, the emotions get involved. And once the emotions get involved, you're in trouble, because they'll overrule a sane head. The second thing we see, what will my occupation be? How am I going to earn a living? My dad taught me young, as I could remember, he said, do something that you like, it'll never be a job. World War II broke out, my dad took a job with Goodyear Aircraft, became a millwright in the shop, and after the war, went to work in the rubber mills up there in Canton, Akron, and he hated every minute of it. He couldn't wait to get back to the farm and starve to death. Well, 1952, we came back to Guernsey County, bought our poor farm, and he went to work for Hoover Iron in Cambridge to afford to farm, and he loved the farming. he died farming and growing groceries out of the garden and all those good things like that. Loved every minute of it. Never got rich, not at all, but he was rich in the things that God blessed. And the third thing that we do before we're 25 is we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the most important choice we can make in our life. And usually that'll happen before age 25, because after that, our hearts get hard. They get harder and harder. And there are exceptions to that rule, but by and large, if a kid doesn't get saved early, his chances of getting saved are very, very slim. And I want you to notice also, not all choices are positive. Moses' choices were all negative. Look at verse 25, 26, and 27. Choosing rather, esteeming the reproach of Christ, he forsook Egypt. Those were all negative choices. In order to please God, we must learn the proper use of the word no. One of our age there at the facility that I'm in has a two-year-old, soon be two-year-old, and he's a cute little fellow. His name is Bo, B-E-A-U, Bo. And I was talking to her the other day, and I said, how's Bo doing? And she says he's learning to speak pretty well. I said, what did he learn to say? She said he learned to say no. That's a, after mama, the word no comes in. And she said he's picked up another word now. It's why. No and why. That's his vocabulary. And a lot of times that has to be our vocabulary. For Moses, he said no to Egypt. He was done with Egypt, and God had told him to lead the children of Israel out. He could have been the Pharaoh and probably was in line as a Pharaoh's son, Pharaoh's daughter's son, to be in line for the throne of Egypt. But he said no to that, and he led the children of Israel out. You get in on in the Bible and you read about Nehemiah. Nehemiah come back to build the walls of Jerusalem and make a city again that they could be proud of. And everybody was against him. Nobody wanted him to do that. And the people around there said, come on down to the plains of Ono and we're going to talk. We'll have a talk. Moses says, I don't have time. He said, I'm busy. Well, come on down. No, I don't have time to talk to you. Well, Moses, you need to come down and talk. We want to help you. Moses said, no. He says, oh, no, I'm not going down to the plains of Ono to talk to you. Moses had his time when he said no, and Nehemiah had his time when he said no. Do you realize that Moses was the only Hebrew living that was not a slave? He was the only Hebrew that was not a slave. And all because he learned the word no. The crowd we travel with is important. We need to know which way they're going, and we need to go the opposite direction with most of them. We're headed for the city of gold. They're headed for destruction. Moses saw New Testament Christianity with the eye of faith, and we must use that same eye. The results of right choices. Moses chose the imperishable. He saw the invisible, and he did the impossible. He led over a million Jews out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness and into the promised land. We as Christians need to glory in the cross of Christ. The cross was the epitome of shame and reproach, but for us, it's our salvation and our life. The cross was the cost of our salvation. Without that cross, we wouldn't have salvation. God paid the price in His only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary. We need to contradict the spirit of the world instead of copy it. We're in an evil age. We look all around about us and all we see is evil. And we need to contradict that with good. You can't be with Pharaoh all week and on Sunday be with God. We've got to make a choice. Which way will you go? We had a problem in our senior saints here a while back that we got solved. We had a service downstairs and there were no baked beans. No beans of any kind. Well, you can't have a Baptist dinner without beans. Absolutely. And the other problem was noodles. We had no noodles. So I asked, who will take care of the beans? And Joyce put her hand up, and she's never failed to bring baked beans. And they're fantastic. As far as the noodles, Chuck Blake stepped up with the noodles. Bring some of the most fantastic noodles you ever had. But you know something about noodles? A noodle cannot stand on its own. Do you know that? If you're going to have a noodle, you got to have something with it to hold it up. You got to have chicken and noodles. You've got to have beef and noodles. You've got to have possum and noodles. Coyote and noodles. Anything, even butter and noodles. But a noodle cannot stand on its own. And a lot of Christians are like that too. They can't stand on their own. They have to always be mixed with something else. We need to be the kind of Christian that's mature and able to stand by itself. The blind man walked into Walmart one day and had his seeing eye dog with him, and he walks inside and gets in the aisle and the main aisle there in the front of the store, and he picks a dog up by the tail and starts swinging him around. And the clerks run up to him, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?" He says, "Just looking around." In Rochester, Michigan, is the home of leader dogs for the blind. And that place has been there for a long time, and they train the dog and the owner together. And that dog, not every dog passes the test. And they have a lot of things there that help that dog to learn that their eye has to stay on the master. The cat runs across in front of the dog. If the dog chases the cat, he's not fit to be a leader's dog for the blind. That dog has to keep his eye on the master. And you and I do too. We build our faith and we keep our eye on the master. A decision isn't a decision until it's acted on. Two frogs on the lily pad, and one decided to jump. How many are left? Well, there's still two, because deciding to jump isn't jumping. You can decide all day long, but till you jump, you haven't jumped. Build your faith with action. Don't quit your daily Bible reading just because you got the first Chronicles. On Friday, I got the first Chronicles, and I went the first six chapters in that, and then I finished it up on Saturday, and today I'll work on that when I get out of here. But you got to go past all of it. And some of it is a little hard to take. I was talking to the pastor the other day, and he came in while I was reading, and he said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Judges." I said, "I hate the book of Judges. It's depressing, very depressing." And he said, "Well," he says, "I'm in Numbers or Deuteronomy or something, and reading about the temple." He said, "That's a little hard to slog through too, but nevertheless, you read it." The book of Judges is disappointing and depressing, but it shows us that there's another side to that. We go out the other side, we learn the things that we shouldn't do, and that's a lot of time, that's the way God teaches us. Don't miss church with a case of don't feel like it's. A lot of people, "I didn't feel like coming out this morning. In fact, they come to pick me up and I was asleep. I was sitting there reading my Bible and fell asleep. And I'd rather nap anymore than do anything else. But here I am." It's better to wear out than to rust out. That's how you build your faith. As long as God leaves you here, you have a purpose to fulfill. Don't quit building your faith. You're almost to the finish line. I know when I go back, I'll be preaching this afternoon, and that service has been fruitful. We've seen several people saved. We've seen some people that were nominal Christians that are back reading their Bible every day and witnessing and talking to people about the Lord and doing things that they should have been doing all along. They needed somebody to encourage them, and be an encourager. Be somebody that takes their faith and puts it in practice and passes it on to the rest of the family. Father, we thank you for this group that has come here this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the ability to continue to build our faith. And Lord, we realize that you've got a purpose for us for as long as you leave us here. And we, Lord, want to fulfill that purpose. We want to be an enabler and a builder and somebody that praises you and gives you the honor and the glory and passes it on to our children and grandchildren and our friends and our neighbors. Help us to be the kind of Christian that continues to build until the day that you take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.